Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
I have decided, you know the old song, I have decided to follow Jesus. One of the things God has been telling me is that a lot of people who follow, say they follow Jesus, really they're, hallelujah, following a lot of other things. We have to be very careful not to let our focus shift off of following Jesus. We have to be really careful that our focus doesn't shift onto following the ministry.
Amen.
Or following some other things. There's a lot of things, you know. It's like a bullseye that gets narrow and narrow, but the center is Jesus. Follow Jesus. You know, a lot of people, we talk so much about the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we've seen so much of it. It's wonderful. And of course, that's more thrilling to us because that's our flesh loves that. But what if the very center of Jesus' will is to go and serve somewhere where it's not delightful?
Amen.
Where they're starving, they're hungry, and the food isn't very good.
Amen.
And you're sleeping on old lumpy ground with hard rocks. Paul did it. Because he cared more for the souls of men than he cared for his comfort. He went into towns knowing they were going to beat him. Because he was assigned by God. He had an assignment from God, and so do you.
Yeah.
Now, everyone in here has an assignment from God. Everyone's is a little bit different. That scripture I quoted before that said you are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus, it also says to do good works which God prepared in advance.
Amen.
That you would walk in them. You have good works with your name on it. You were created for a purpose. Everyone's is different, but with Paul, he said he was set for the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. If it cost him his life, he was going to tell people the truth about God. Because, see, all his life he thought he was serving God, and in the name of God was sinning mightily against God because he had a false belief system, a wrong belief. And he was going after people who were following Jesus to drag them back and let them be persecuted. Completely out of the will of God. And one day on the road to Damascus, Jesus confronts him. And he was temporarily struck blind. Who are you, Lord? He said. You know, he suddenly, Mr. I know everything didn't know so much.
Amen.
Mr. I have it all together. I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was all fancy pants. He knew it all. But when that light came upon him and it struck him and he couldn't see and he's fumbling and bumbling in the road, he immediately said, who are you, Lord? This man who served God his whole life, thinking he was getting it all right. Who are you, Lord? I don't think we know as much as we think we know. Paul had what was called religion, but he did not have God.
Amen.
And that day he realized that he didn't know anything. And in his blindness, which was temporary, he realized there is a Lord. And he and Jesus had a conversation. He remained blind for a few days. And the Lord sent a simple believer who did not like Paul and did not trust him. Gave him the directions to the man's address, where he's staying. Ananias. What? Go to a street called Straight. Find one called Saul of Tarsus. No way. He kills people. Mm-mm. I've heard about this man. I've heard what he does to believers. The Lord said, go. I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
Amen to that.
And then Ananias went and laid hands on Paul. Scales, something like scales, fell off his eyes and he received his sight. But he also received another kind of sight. He traded something that day. He traded religion for the Lord Jesus, a real relationship with Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He traded his life for a different kind of life. They call it the exchanged life. What I see all the time, we Christians, we have pieces we give to God, but there should come a point in every believer's life where we give them the whole thing. How do they say it? The whole enchilada. We give them everything. every piece, every part, every room in our house, everything in our checkbook, everything in every book on our shelf, every idea in our head, every opinion, every religious idea. We lay it down. We say, take it, God, burn it all up. And give me instead the truth. I want one thing from you, and that's the truth. I don't want to be stumbling and bumbling along thinking I'm doing right and not doing right.
Amen.
I want to know the truth. I have one prayer lately. I want to come before the throne. I want to know the truth. He said, I am the truth. That's what he said. I am truth. That's what he said. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Therefore, if you see him, you have just beheld the truth.
Amen.
And I've been praying, Lord, now I've had many wonderful experiences with God, but I am seeking your face. Because I want the truth in no uncertain terms, and if I'm mistaken about something, I want to be corrected.
You bet.
Confront me, God. Get in my face, God.
Yes.
I want the truth. You know, there was a brother that many years ago he studied the Bible something like 13, 14 hours a day. Excuse me. And they say that he would on purpose read all the works written by people who disagreed with him. He would on purpose read their opposing opinions because he wanted to know. See, most people won't do that. They listen to the people they like who agree with them. They go, yeah, that guy's good. Why is he good? Because he agrees with me.
Amen.
But what this man did was he on purpose read opposing views because he was more interested in the truth. He wanted to know, can their arguments convince me that my arguments are mistaken. He so wanted truth. He wanted truth more than he wanted to be right. And so he spent his life going after truth and seeking after the truth of God. You know, I've been walking with the Lord since I was 15, but really seriously since I was 26, and I'm 51. And you know, the Lord still rattles my bones sometimes by showing me things that I was just dead wrong about. You know, and even though that sometimes hurts, it also kind of, it hurts good, like, oh, that feels good. Ooh, ow. It hurts, but it hurts good. Because I don't want to be laboring under a misconception. There's a place in God where he can bring it into a place of brokenness. In your, not in a bad way, but in a good way. In a way where you're just ready for God. Oh God, I don't know anything anymore.
Amen.
Oh God, I don't know. All I know is you're great. All I know is I need you and you're wonderful. That's what I know. You're the one and only. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. That's what I know. That's my gospel message. You are the best thing that ever happened in my life. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. How many people in here can honestly say Jesus Christ is the best thing that ever happened to me? Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Because knowing Jesus brings a transformed life. There's a transformation that happens on the inside of you. It happens in your soul, your mind, your spirit. Something begins to change in you. People who used to drink don't drink anymore. People who used to do... We got people in here who used to be drug addicts. Freed in a moment.
Amen.
People who used to drink, freed in a moment. People who used to be violent, freed in a moment.
Amen.
There is no religion that can do that. Only Jesus can do that. I remember one time, there's a ministry on the south side of Chicago in the ghetto. And it is, I'm telling you, they go and get the worst drug addicts that no rehab center can help. They go and find them. But he said, they got to want help. We won't mess with them. They don't want help. We're not going to waste time with it. They don't want it. We're not going to mess with them. But they bring a busload of these guys out here to the suburbs. And this one man, I'll never forget this man. Great big man. And he said when they found him, he was literally in the gutter. And he had, from his drug abuse, he had open sores up and down his legs. Now, this is disgusting, but I'm going to tell you. Because I saw the scars, the healed scars. He had maggots living in his body.
Amen.
That's how bad off, I'm sorry to be gross, but that's the truth. That's how bad off this man was. And right there in front of a whole church of 500 people, he lifted his pant leg and showed his scars. And these people found he was hopelessly addicted. His mother could not even let him in the house. because of the disease and the, you know, what I just said. The maggots. She couldn't let him in. Couldn't let him in. She could hand him food through the door, his own mom. Now, that's a sad state of affairs.
Yes, it is.
That man has no earthly hope. There's no rehab center that can fix him. You know, because an addiction without Jesus Christ, you get free, you go back. You get free, you go back. You get free, you go back. But Jesus Christ can break the chains of darkness.
Amen.
One woman said she had a cocaine habit, and the Lord spoke to her. She heard His voice, and He said, Sandy, if you throw the drugs in the toilet, I'll set you free. And she threw them in the toilet, and she said she felt chains popping off her, and she was completely set free from that habit and never went back. Only Jesus can do that.
Amen.
And this guy, they took him, they put him in a bed, and all the men in that place, I think two or three times a day, I forget how many times a day, would come and pray for him and pray for him and pray for him until those chains of addiction were broken off his life.
Amen.
And you talk about somebody that serves Jesus with his whole heart because he had nothing else. He had nothing else. A lot of us got saved and we had other things. And God became a really great part of our life.
Yes.
But there are people, and we should be among them, that say, you know what, this life isn't worth anything. My life was junk. Paul said, I count it rubbish, garbage, for the excellency of knowing Jesus
Amen.
Christ. It's trash. It's trash to be taken out. And I can tell you, for me, it took me a while to figure it out. You know, because I was a strong-willed child. You ever read a book about the strong-willed child? I was a strong-willed child. And I didn't want someone else being Lord over my life. I wanted to be Lord. And so I just made it worse and worse. You know, doing my own thing just made it worse and worse and worse and worse. Because that's how it is without God. He loves you, but He will let you go on in your foolishness.
Yes, He will.
And He'll just wait. Because sooner or later, you will come to a wall you can't pass. You will come to a barrier and you say, I can't go anymore. Some people come to a place of suicide. Some people come to a place where they say, this isn't worth it. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to end it right here. Well, what do they think is waiting on the other side? And finally, somebody comes to a place where they say, God, I am done with this program.
Amen.
I have screwed it up as bad as you can. It isn't going to be made any better unless you do it. So, God, I'm coming to You just as I am. Intervene in my life. You take over. You run this thing. You be Lord. Now, the day that I said that, I met Jesus Christ at 15, and I knew He was real because electricity filled my body for about 20 minutes. And I was alone in my bedroom. I didn't have anybody with me. I didn't know anything about it. I read a book that explained the gospel message to me for the first time in my life. And this electricity went through my body. And it was like electricity combined with joy. I was on my face in I don't know what kind of condition for about 20 minutes. And I knew that it was Jesus Christ. And I knew He was real.
Amen.
And then when I was 26 years old, I had finally got it figured out. That any area that I didn't give to Him became a mess. And any area that I gave to Him became a raging success.
Amen.
There are people in here that have some areas you've held back. And you're going, oh no, don't expose me. Oh, don't show me, don't point at me, oh, don't look at me. My eyes are shut, I'm keeping my shut. Now I'm trying to keep them shut. You've got pieces of your heart you're like not willing to give up. Some of you have pieces you're afraid what God might do.
Yes.
Ooh, I'm afraid what God might do with that if He gets a hold of it. Give it up.
Amen.
You know, the longer it takes you to figure that out, then when you finally figure it out, you look back and say, I should have done this so many years ago. What a stupid waste of time. Because any area you give Him, yes, He'll sweep it out. Yes, it will probably hurt. It's like a person that doesn't want to go to the dentist when they have an abscess. Well, you just wait. You know, you just keep on holding on to that little abscess. Oh, I just don't want him to deal with it because I don't want to go to the dentist. It's going to hurt. Listen, the sooner you go and get that thing dealt with, the happier you will be.
Amen to that.
Come on now, someone in here, you got some, you know, fess up. You got some things. You're holding on. It's like, oh, I don't want to give him that. With some of you, it's an area that is too painful for you because you've had some hurts. And to open the door for God to go in and heal that, you know that you're going to have to face some memories. And sometimes that's hard to do. But you know, God will never hurt you. He will not embarrass you. He will not shame you. He will deal with your heart gently. His intention is never to damage you. Never. You are His beloved. He loves
Amen.
You.
Yes,
and He's not mad, but He wants to help you.
Yes.
And I feel like He's got His hands out saying, give me that area. As I'm speaking, there's a few people, not everybody, hallelujah, but there's a few people that God may be raising some things to mind. By the end of tonight, go over it with God and ask Him to give you the courage and the grace to give that area to God.
Absolutely.
To let Him unlock those doors.
Yes, Lord.
Some of you have asked Him for healing, but you've kept the padlock on the door that He needs to get in.
Crazy.
You've said, oh, heal me of this, God. I need this dealt with. But when He comes to deal with it, your shield goes up because you're afraid.
Amen.
And listen, you don't have to be afraid of God.
You don't.
There's a trust issue here. When you trust God, and over the years as you get to know Him, I trust God. I don't care what kind of knife He comes at me with. You know, those of you who know me, I love to talk about surgery. You know? Yeah, they're laughing because they heard my song. You remember, you're laughing at my song, are you? Okay, so now you have to hear my song. Okay. He goes, get out the knife and start the surgery. I know the knife was heaven sent. I'm on the operating table, Lord. I'm in the mood to repent. And there's more to that song, but the idea is God will never make you, ever. He'll never make you come in and have surgery. But He will always offer it to you. And He'll gently point out to you, sometimes maybe not too gently, point out to you that you need a little something removed. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a forgiveness issue. You know, I love it when they yell at you and tell you to forgive people.
Amen.
Now, you need to forgive because the Bible says if we don't forgive another, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us.
Yes.
So this is not an option. I don't want to hear from God, I can't forgive you, Holly, because you can forgive so-and-so. I don't hear that from God. I don't care what they did to me. I will find a way to forgive them because I don't want to hear those words from my Father. I'm sorry, Holly, I can't forgive you. You didn't forgive Joe Blow. I don't care what he did to you. It doesn't compare to what they did to Jesus, who while he was being crucified, while he was in the act of being tortured by the worst torture device in existence at that time, which was created to drag out the pain. That's the purpose of the cross. It was created that people would, you know, the whole thing is they'd raise up to get a breath and then fall down and, you know, on the stakes through your hands. Created for torture. While he's on this very device, he says, Lord, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Amen to that.
They don't realize what they're doing. Is anything that happened to you worse than that?
No.
Is there anything that could happen to any of us? Because listen, while that was happening, think about it. Every disease known to man was on his body. It says he bore our sicknesses. How do you think healing happens? He took our sicknesses.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Do you have a sickness and disease? Take it to the cross.
You bet.
Do you need a healing? Go to the cross of
Amen.
Christ. People say, don't talk about the cross, talk about the resurrection. Let me tell you why I talk about the cross. This is a rabbit trail. We're on a tangent now. So somebody bring me back to wherever I was. When we're done rabbiting, trailing. When the Hebrews were bitten by the snakes, right? They're dying. Things are bad. It's bad for the Israelis. Things are bad. They're dying. Poisonous snakes. They're all croaking. You say croak if you're preaching? They croaked. Died. The Lord said, I want you to make a pole and put a serpent on it. Why a serpent? What's that about? And if they look on that, they'll be healed. This is what I believe. He who knew, this is a Bible scripture now, he who knew no sin became sin for us.
Amen.
What does sin look like when it's lifted up on a cross?
You bet.
What does sin look like? What does every disease, multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, AIDS, what does it all look like? This man suffered horribly, much worse than just the cross. Every disease was put upon him.
Amen.
That we wouldn't have to bear it. That's where miracles come from. That's why when you take communion, this is my body that was broken for you. That's his body. When you behold the serpent on the cross, behold that. See, he became sin. He was a perfect man, never sinned in his life, took all our sins on his mortal body. He became sin for us. Murderers, rapists, every creepy kind of thing you can imagine. But he so loved the world, so loved us, that he was willing to take it and say, I'll die for theirs too. Every time somebody comes to the cross, every time somebody comes to the cross, he says, I'll take theirs too. I'll take that alcoholism too. I'll take that drug addiction. People don't understand sometimes. You know, one brother said recently, he said when he got saved, there were people who didn't think he should have been, that didn't think God should have had mercy on him because he was so bad. His sins were so awful that there were people who didn't think he should have been allowed in. But Jesus said, I'll take his too.
Amen.
Because he knew us before we were born.
Yes, he did.
Before we got messed up. Before we got so screwed up and did wrong things. There are people who commit horrible crimes because they were sinned against when they were kids. Abused horribly. What do you think they're going to turn into? How do you think they're going to act? Rotten. Jesus said, I'll take theirs too.
Amen.
I'll take their sins too. My friend's husband almost died last year. He became ill with some kind of unrecognizable viral bacteria that the doctors couldn't even understand what it was. The guy was on his deathbed. They're praying over him. They're casting stuff out. They're trying everything they can think of. And she's a woman of God, and she said, God, I know I can win if I have a strategy. Give me the strategy. She's sitting by his bed, and she's praying in tongues. She said one came, and she believes it was the Holy Spirit, but she wasn't 100% sure. And she saw the cross. And this one said to Jesus, will you take this too? And he said, I will. And from that moment, her husband began to get better and better and better. And he is 100% healed. Because Jesus took that on the cross so that he wouldn't have to.
Thank you, Jesus. That's good stuff.
We carry a lot of stuff we don't need to carry. Because a lot of things, you know, listen, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. You're around fret, worry, fret, worry, oh, agonize. Why? Take it. Lord, will you take this? Take it from me. I'm giving it to you so that I can walk in peace. This was promised years, centuries before he was born. Isaiah clearly laid it out. He's coming to do this and this and this and this and this. Laid it out. When he came, he did just exactly that. That's exactly what he did, exactly what was promised. He'd lived a life that had already been prophesied in great detail.
Yes, he did.
So you need to be taking your stuff and saying, you know what, you carried this, so it's an insult to you if I try to take it too. I realized a few years ago that there were times when I've actually insulted the cross of Christ because I was trying to pay a price too. You know, you sin and you blow it and you punish yourself. God rebuked me. I'm telling you, He rebuked me. He said, you're trying to pay a penance for your sin. You're beating yourself up. He said, you're going to go away for 3 days, feel bad enough for long enough, then you come crawling in and you'll say, oh, God, forgive me. He said, I want to forgive you now. He said, and what you're doing, you're trying to pay penance for your sins, and what you're saying is that what my son did on the cross is not enough.
Amen.
I had some apologizing to do, and I began to pray differently. Our religious mind is offensive to God. Our religious thinking is an offense to the cross. I began to pray different. Lord, anything you died for me to have, I want it. I don't want one drop of your precious blood to be shed in vain. If you died for me to have something and I don't know it, help me see it.
Amen.
I don't want anything to have been done in vain. I don't want you to have suffered in vain.
That's right.
See, people go, oh, he doesn't want me to have that, and they ask for old mess, so I'm just going to go over in the corner and be a humble little Christian and never get anything. And he's thinking, I died for you to have it. Do you so disregard what I did? That's why he said, ask that you might receive, that your joy would be made full.
Yeah.
I want you to ask. I want you to ask. You sell yourself short because you're looking at yourself and not what I did.
Amen.
You're saying to yourself, I'm not enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. You never were. You never will be. He says, I'm enough. He was the fullness of Him who fills all in all. He is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. His mortal body that was sent to that cross was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Bible says. He was the express image of the Father.
Yes.
He said, Philip, have I been with you so long you haven't known me? He who sees me has seen the Father.
Amen.
That's powerful stuff.
Yes.
So the throne we talked about with the lightnings and the thunder. Come on now.
Amen.
The power of God so great that when Moses went up the mountain shook. There were trumpet blasts and people were scared. They were terrified of God. They were terrified of God. His power so great. His voice is like thunder and deep waters and Niagara Falls.
Praise you, Jesus.
And they said, Moses, you go. We'll wait here. You go. You go do that thing you do. You... And here's Moses. Walks into the cloud of God's presence. Disappears for 40 days. Breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in and breathing out the cloud of God Himself. Is it any wonder that when he came down from the mountain, his face shone with such a glory, they had to cover him up because they couldn't stand to look at it. Even that was too bright. God told me one time, he said, you guys can't even look at the sun. You can't even look right at it. You can't handle it. He said, it's one of the smaller things I made. With his breath, he didn't even use his hand. Let there be. That's who we're dealing with.
Amen.
Isn't that some dumb idol made out of stone that somebody made, some human made? Give me a break. Get your baseball bat. Some man makes them. In fact, now factories make them. They all look alike. Oh, give me a break. Elijah talked to the prophets of Baal. Where's your God? Did he go to the outhouse? Come on, guys. Come on. Let's see it. Dumb idol. If you look it up in the Bible, every time you see idol, you usually see dumb in front of it. Dumb idol. The only reason I get so hot under the collar about this is it's an offense to God who made you. So here's God creating people, giving them breath, giving them life, letting them even make babies. Come on, how does that happen?
Yeah.
Not only makes them, but lets them make more. What's that about? That's like miracle of miracles. I mean, that's like, 10 times the miracle. And then the little ones get big and they can make babies. What kind of system is that? And these people, then they go and make stone and bow down.
Amen.
That stone, they never did any such thing. That stone never created anybody. And I'll bet you never healed anybody.
Amen.
Our God is King.
Yes, He is.
And Jesus said that He was the express image of the Father. In other words, somehow, now here's another mystery, God took all of that and put it in a human body. And the Bible says in Acts 10 that Jesus Christ was anointed by the Holy Ghost, went about doing good, and healing all who were oppressed of the devil.
Yes, He did.
For God was with Him.
Amen.
Actually, God was in Him.
Yes, He was.
And He was God. And what was Jesus doing? He was showing us the nature of God. Some of you have struggled with the whole sickness thing. Hopefully we're getting past that now in the body of Christ, but oh, does God really want me healed? Jesus Christ went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. It is the devil who came to kill and to steal and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came they might have life and have it more abundantly. He desires for you to live in fullness. When you're sick, you don't serve God real well. When you're ill, you're not able to do all that would glorify Him. So I contend that when you're ill, it is because you have an enemy that is trying to stop you from glorifying God.
Amen.
Therefore, you have a battle on your hands.
Yes, you do.
You're not praying, oh God, heal me, God, heal me. I believe He did on the cross. He bore your sickness on the cross. Take the thing to the cross. Take communion. Lord, this is your body broken for me. I receive my healing. By His stripes, you were healed, past
Amen.
Tense.
That's right.
I receive my healing. And devil, I have authority over you, because Luke 10:19 says, behold, Jesus said to His disciples, which we are. So He's saying it to you. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you.
Amen.
We need to just straighten some of this out. We've gotten our thinking kind of muddled, and therefore we have not walked in the kind of victory that we were born to walk in and destined to walk in. We've accepted less.
Amen.
We've accepted a gospel that's less than the gospel God gave us. We've accepted less. And because we accepted it, we've lived less. We've walked at lower levels than we could. And God is saying, come on up higher. Let me show you where I live. Let me show you where I live, how I live, how I did what I did when I was in a mortal body.
Amen.
He'll teach you exactly how He did what He did.
Amen.
So I gave you the Holy Ghost. He breathed on His disciples. Said, receive the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He said, he who believes on me, the works that I do, will he do also, because I'm going to my Father. How are you going to do that? Because the Holy Ghost that's in you is going to teach you how. Now you've got the same Spirit, the Bible says, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in you, if you were filled with the Spirit. It's an amazing gospel.
It is.
It sure is. I love it.
And God's trying to raise your sights and say, wow, I didn't know that was in the gospel. Yeah, Satan tried to steal this from the church. Tried to steal it. Because he was afraid. If they really figure out who they are, I am done for.
That's right.
And we're watching it right now. Somebody figures out who they really are and look out, world.
Amen.
One biker figures out who he is and move over. Come on now. The world watches while Jesus Christ heals all these people because somebody figured it out. And what God does for one, He will do for anybody.
Absolutely.
Because He clearly said He's no respecter of persons.
Right.
So he's saying, come up. He wants to give you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Because the lack of it causes you to walk far below where he would have you walk. The lack of knowledge and understanding causes you to walk an ordinary life with ordinary trials. Oh God, please handle this for me. I'm just so miserable. I'm struggling, God. That's, you know, that happens. Life is not always easy. My pastor used to say, it's not always flowery beds of ease. And it's not. But we have a God who has given us a covenant. And when God makes a covenant, which he has sworn by himself, because there's no one greater, it cannot be rescinded. So I don't care if you don't like the covenant, it is the covenant. And one of the problems we have is we want God to do things according to the system we think it should be. He said to me one time, I'm never going to change my system. You adapt.
Amen to that.
Yeah. You don't like it, you change. I'm not changing. I wanted him to do a certain thing, a certain way. I thought he ought to do it. After a while, my lightning fast mind realized he wasn't going to. Then, of course, you finally say, okay, what's up? You know, tell me what's going on. There are some things that God will do. He has set in place a certain system. Just like the weather. He sets weather systems in place. The grass grows. Trees have fruit on them that bear more trees. It's a system. There are some systems that God has set in place. They operate over and over and over and over. Remember the farmer plants a seed and he goes to bed, gets up and he goes to bed and he gets up. He doesn't even know how it works. All he knows is water the thing, whoop, there it is. It's a system that God has put in place. And what God told me is that when he has a system, you can whine, you can beg, you can act all pathetic, you can think he should just come on a white horse and rescue you, but he said, no, I have a system, and if you do it my way, you're going to receive the blessing of the covenant.
Absolutely.
But all your whining is not going to do it. You've got to do what I said to do. God has confronted me with this. Because I used to be a whiner and a beggar and a pity partier. But after he taught me his system, I realized all my whining, I might as well just save my breath. He said, there's something you need to get. When you get it, we'll go on. I said, okay, all right. I may be slow, but I will get this. And I changed my way. I repented of my old way and said, I'm going to come to your way because you are God after all. I'm not after all. And I adapted my method to follow his system, which he laid out in his covenant. And behold, I saw results. I tried to wire money to Edgar in Nigeria. I tried to do all kinds of things I thought should work. Nothing worked. I went online. That didn't work. I called on the phone. That didn't work. If you don't do it exactly the way they say and dot all their I's and cross all their T's, I don't care how much you beg and stand outside and cry. They're not going to do it. It doesn't work that way. They've laid out a very clear plan, and if you don't do that, it's not happening. And to some degree, that's how the covenant is. But he's given all these incredible promises, these phenomenal promises, and given you the way to do it. And if you're like me, you know, I spent way too many years going along thinking that he should adapt. Now, I didn't realize that's what I was doing. But I thought, you know, because I was a strong prayer warrior, and I served him with all my heart, and I was praying hard, but there were some things I couldn't move. And I can move a lot in prayer. I mean, I pray a lot, and I know how to move stuff in prayer. I do, but I couldn't move some things. And God finally said, you need to follow my plan. And in my case, what he was talking about was faith. Faith does move mountains. And there are some times when all God wants is for you to believe what he said.
Amen.
Yeah. He doesn't want you to sit out on the curb and cry and whine, act all pathetic. Oh, God, have sympathy on me, for me. You love me, don't you, boo-hoo? And he's saying, you know, just believe. Only believe.
That's right.
One day he said to me, do you believe that I am who I say I am?
Praise God.
And I had lots of reasons to think, you know, he didn't seem like that. I had all kinds of reasons to believe otherwise. Sometimes your life can be such that it may look like God isn't who he said. And I knew he was asking me to make a choice. That in the face of all kinds of opposition, all kinds of things that seemed like they opposed the Word of God, do you believe I am who I say I am? And I said, I'm making a decision today. I don't care what it looks like. If your Word says it's this way, I'm choosing Amen. To believe that that is the way it is. And I watched my life turn around.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
I began to... It was new. It was hard. I wasn't used to this method and frankly didn't like it. But I made a decision that day. I said, I'm going to learn about faith. If it's the last thing you teach me, God, you've got to teach me about faith. Because I'd been a little stubborn in that area. And as I began to take God at his word and say, I believe you, and I'm not only going to believe you, but I'm going to act like I believe you. And I'm going to walk like I believe you, and I'm going to talk like I believe you. And I started to see miracles happen.
Amen.
Because what God was waiting for was someone who would just believe him. Do you know how irritating it is for someone not to believe you? Did you ever tell somebody something and they don't believe you? It's like they're calling you a liar.
Amen.
It's irritating. And frankly, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can irk God with unbelief.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, you can really bug him. But by faith, you can release, you can open doors, you can open the doors of heaven. You know how Reinhard Bonnke does what he does? You guys know who he is? Everybody know who he is? I used to think it was because he sent out a team of 30 intercessors ahead, and I thought all kinds of things. But finally, I heard him teaching a group of evangelists how he does what he does. It's by faith.
You bet.
It's shocking to me. He began to believe for continents, not nations, continents. And he taught them how to believe for continents. And all his life, Africa shall be saved. Africa shall be saved. Africa shall be saved. Little kid, Africa shall be saved. He'd envision, he'd see Africa, a continent, the map on fire. Africa shall be saved. All the other little kids are out there playing stickball. Africa shall be saved. I think we see the fruit. The same week I saw that, God put a CD in my hand from Dr. Cho. It's the largest church in the world. Everybody says he did it through prayer, he did it through the cell groups, he did it through this, he did it through this. Dr. Cho says he did it through faith.
Yes, he did.
Thank you, Lord, that I have 500 members. It's six. Oh, thank you, Lord, that I have 500 members. His wife says, people think you're crazy. You're preaching like there's all these people there. He said, I see them, I don't care. He saw those people. He would preach like there was thousands of people there. When he got 500, oh, thank you, Lord, that I have 5,000 people. He got 5,000. I said, Lord, the Presbyterian Church has 6,000. I should have more than them. And he started to go after 10. And he didn't stop. He kept going after it and going after it. He did it by believing God. Now, that's amazing. But these two men, I mean, if you were to say who is the most fruitful or has the most results... And what was their method? And here in 1 week, God puts both these things in my hand. Hello, ding, ding. Get a clue, Holly. It was completely out of the realm of my understanding. Great things can be obtained from our God, and he is looking for those who will believe. He said, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance.
Amen.
Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We've been asking for some little electric bill to be paid and couldn't muster enough faith for $18.22. Come on now. Oh, when gas gets bad, you know, yeah, gas is bad. But listen, you serve a king.
Amen.
And if you have really come into his kingdom, if you really have, you have access and rights that those outside do not have. The Bible says that if you are born again, you were translated or picked up out of the kingdom of darkness and translated or transported and dropped into the kingdom of God. You are living in a brand new place, but a lot of you still think like you're in the old place. Your thinking didn't get converted. That's why he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've got to change your mind. You have to begin to get a hold of what his word really says and change your mind to think like he said. Because as you wash your mind, Smith Wigglesworth raised 20-something people from the dead. Some people say 23, some people say 26. There's a fairly successful man. There's a guy that knows something about faith. I know you've heard me tell this story, but I love it. He was the guy that went down the street into the funeral home, dragged the stiff, dead corpse out of the coffin, dragged him down the street, two blocks, into the church, dragged him up the stairs, bump, 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 stuck him on the thing and said, Brother Williams wants to testify. And he did. I think this is a man we can learn from. And what he did was he washed his mind with the Word of God. You could not eat at his house. You could not sit down to eat a meal at his house, any meal, unless you heard an entire chapter of the Bible. Because he didn't believe in eating food until you'd eaten spiritual food. He wouldn't let Lester Sumrall in his house with a newspaper. He said, you're not bringing that thing in this house. Why? Because it's whatever your mind gets a hold of, it's washing your mind.
That's right.
You're washing your mind with dirty water.
Right.
That's why you think it doesn't matter what movies you watch. It matters what movies you watch.
Oh, yeah.
Because whether you know it or not, you're creating images and memories and junk.
Yep.
You have to be careful what you put in this miraculous computer that God has given you. Fill it with things of God. Fill it with truth. Jesus said, take heed what you listen to. Why? Because it's like a program. There's stuff that you don't even think you can remember that's stored in there. Even the secular scientists will tell you that. The brain is amazing. It's a messaging system. Do you know that if you have a thinking pattern for long enough, did you know that it actually becomes a physical rut in your brain? That's not a spiritual principle. That's what the brain guys say. The neurologists say that, who've studied it. Because it sends a message down that path so much, it becomes hard for you to think another way. So if you've been thinking all your life, you were told you're a failure, 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 failure. You'll never amount to anything. We get people come in here, you can tell them for 4 years, you want to shake their little head and say, you're in a new kingdom now. And they go, I'm a failure, because they're programmed. Not condemning them, but that needs to be washed, then washed, then washed, then washed. You need to pump the truth through there, pump it in there. You don't get one of those auto reverse tape things in the, you know, when you go to bed at night. You know. Pump the truth through your brain until you can think a new way. You will never raise the dead until you think you can. You'll never grow out a leg that isn't there until you believe you can.
Amen.
And you'll never believe you can until you believe that that's the kingdom you were translated into. And you won't believe that's the kingdom you were translated into until you renew your mind. God is challenging you to change your thinking. You know, we think of it as impossible because we're used to this realm where it is.
Right.
Jesus operated in another realm where it wasn't. Because that was their creative realm.
Whoa.
He was there when he said, let there be. So the Bible says nothing was created apart from him. Everyone thing that was created by him. And all things hold together and consist by him, by his word, by Jesus. He was there. Been there and done that.
Amen.
So for him to come to penny ante earth, piddly earth, oh smallest of the small planets, show up and, you know, lay aside his glory, all right, I'm going to show them how it works. They don't get it, Father. They don't get it. Show up on earth, going to show them how it works. He was operating in the realm of heaven all the time. His mortal body was walking around. People didn't see it because they only see in the natural. But we know that the devils saw it because the minute they saw him, they said, "Don't torment me. I know who you are." How'd they know? Because they were operating in his realm, in the realm of the spirit.
Amen.
One look at him, they were screaming on their knees. "Oh, don't cast me out." Scared of him. Everybody else sees him coming. "Isn't that the carpenter's son?" "Oh, surely this can't be the one. He was, you know, he's Mary Joseph's." Always looking at the natural.
Help me, Lord. What do I need help?
I'm telling you, people come to town and you don't receive them because you don't like that wart on the side of their nose. God sends a speaker. "I don't like the way..." I was laughing on the way. Now, don't get after me for this. But I'm thinking of that song, people come in and go, that old song, "You can have her, I don't want her, she's too fat for me." "I can't listen to her preach, she's too heavy." Well, get past it. My opinion is that God will sometimes use the unlovely to see what you'll do with them. Will you receive the word of the Lord if it comes in a package you don't like? Huh? "Well, I don't like his package. I don't like the way he says blah, 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 blah." Well, but what does God say? Did God send him? Or did God not send him? If you receive a prophet in the name of prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, the Bible says we're to test people because some people say they're apostles and they are not. And Jesus commended us for saying, "You tested those who said they were apostles and they're lying." And he commended us. So we're supposed to check. We're not just supposed to blindly, you know, receive anything and everything that walks through the door. But when someone walks through the door, our flesh is so quick. "Well, I don't like that." Well, what if God is sending you a package and you missed it? What if he's sending you a present and you didn't like the wrapping paper?
Praise God.
I sneak and I say, when I see somebody and I really believe they're from God, I ask the Lord, you know, "Tell me about this. Tell me their heart. Tell me about with this person and the gift that you've sent." Because the Bible says God has given gifts to the body of Christ. They're gifts. How do you think God is going to feel if he sends you a gift and you're like, "Did you ever give a kid a gift? I want that gift." Shut up. And see how soon it is before I give you another gift, by the way. Oh, dear. We're out of control. So what I do is I ask the Lord his honest opinion. What do you think of this? And no man is perfect. No woman is perfect. Nobody except Jesus. We know that. So we're not asking, are they perfect? But Lord, did you send them? Are you speaking to me through them? Is there something they have? And I got to look past their hairdo or their or their toupee or all. "I don't like that. That's too much makeup." "Oh, that person wears too much makeup." Well, hey, what's that got to do with the price of eggs? Come on now. How carnal can you be? Is that God's chosen? You might be in trouble with the Father. Man, I'm telling you, we better watch that stuff. So what I do, there's a guy that, I have this guy, just love this guy because the Spirit of the Lord is on him. I just have this, every time he preaches, I just like to love this guy. And he's been around for years and years, this man. And he's full of the Holy Ghost, and his manifestations are a little odd. So a lot of people don't like him, but whenever I see him, I'm like, "Oh, I just love this man," because I love the anointing that is flowing through him. There's a sweet and a pure anointing. I mean, it's cool that everybody's getting healed in his meetings too, but but there's a sweet anointing. But some people are turned off by whatever they're turned off by. You know, people are, "I don't like this, I don't like that, blah, 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 blah." But you know what I'm saying? Lord, I don't even know the man's title, but I receive this man in the name of the Lord because I want the reward. Amen. Receive the prophet in the name of the prophet. You get his reward. If an apostle comes to town, I receive him, Lord, in your
Amen.
Name. Because I want that reward. I want it. Because the minute you say, "I don't like that," you've closed the door to receive something. You shut the door now. "Oh, I can't get that.
Thank you, Jesus."
God sent somebody, "I don't..." God sends somebody, oh, I don't like that, 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 that. Well, tell me, what will you like? Mm-hmm. Jesus said, you're like children in the marketplace. You know, we played a flute, you wouldn't dance. Mm-hmm. We sang a dirge, you wouldn't mourn. What do you want? Mm-hmm. You know, John the Baptist, you know, he was one, you didn't like him. Now I come eating, drinking, you don't like me. Man, oh man. That's a rough one.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know that the Bible says in Isaiah that we need to take away the pointing of the finger. Okay, who's got Isaiah 58? Somebody give me Isaiah 58. Talk about your finger. And mine. Oh, no. Oh, thanks. All right. Thank you. Yeah, mine too. My favorite chapter.
Yep.
Ooh, teeny tiny print. Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay. If you do away with the yoke of oppression with the pointing finger and the malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday sun. In other words, when you have a bad day, you're still the brightest thing in town. You're still shining bright. Even when you're having a crummy day, people are still coming to you for help. It's a miracle. Now let me back up a little. This is so cool. My favorite chapter. Oh, why have we fasted and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you haven't noticed? Remember I said, whiny, 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 whiny. Why didn't you notice? God, I'm so whiny. Yet on the day of your fasting, you do what is you please. You exploit your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, striking each other with wicked fists and sometimes wicked words. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I chose? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed? And for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Oh, I'm so pathetic. Oh, I'm so pathetic in my sackcloth and ashes. Is that what you call a fast, he says? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is this not the kind of fast I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, set the oppressed free, and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not turn away from your own flesh and blood, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. See, we think that our religion should be this and that and this and that, and God is telling us here what's pleasing to Him and what's not. Judgment scares me.
I should say so.
And I don't mean how like it sounded. I'm afraid to judge people. I'm scared to judge people. Because I know that's one thing, the measure you use, it will be measured against you.
Right.
I'm telling the truth. The measure that you use when you're critical about people is the very same measure. You know, God is so merciful to me. You're lucky if you have, I shouldn't say lucky, you're blessed if you have a gift of mercy. You're blessed if God has given you a gift of mercy towards people who are failing and falling, and you help them up and they fall down, and you help them up and they fall down, and 20 years later they're still falling down. If you have the gift of mercy and you still won't condemn them, you will always know mercy in your life.
Yes.
You will see God move things aside for you because you showed mercy. You will see things. God move stuff. He'll move heaven and earth to help you. Because anybody who points a finger is saying, I should be God. I know more than you do. I'm the great judge of all the earth. Listen, nobody knows anything about anybody else's life but God. Now, there's times when in intercession, God will show you some things you need to deal with for a person's heart and soul. But if you're a true prophet, a true intercessor, you will never use that as a stick to beat them with. Never. You will never do that. You will pray for them. You will intercede for them. You might fast for them. Or if God says they're making that choice, go on and help somebody else, okay. But I'm still not touching that.
Yeah.
I'm not touching that.
Yeah.
See, I used to be kind of critical. I never spoke it outwardly. So people never knew. But God knows. I had a crummy attitude and he didn't like it. And I never saw it. I never saw it. One day on my lunch hour, God opened, it was like he opened a curtain, and he took me back through my life and showed me attitude and criticism and judgment after judgment that I'd made against people. Now, I never told them. I never showed it. I had this ability to smile and hide things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all the time I'm thinking, you dirty dog. I have no idea. It's not a good thing, by the way. It's known as guile. Edgar used to say rough things. I'd say, can I just tell my faults here? He used to say rough things. I'd say, Lord, that's too rough. That's so rough. It'll hurt people. Sorry. What's the difference? You think it.
You,
yeah? Edgar just has a big mouth. But to God, remember Jesus saw Nathanael in a tree, he said, behold an Israelite in whom there's no guile. Guile is the kind of thing that makes you say, oh, that's lovely when it's not lovely. You lied. That doesn't mean you have to say, oh, that is ugly. But, you know, just keep your lips off it. Keep your lips off it. So that day that God began to reveal how many judgments and criticisms, I had this wonderful man of God that God put me under him to help him. The man didn't like me. Some of you heard this story. He didn't like me. Didn't like me. But my assignment was to help him every way I could and to pray for his ministry. About 10 years. 10 glorious years. God told me, he said, if you build his building, I'll build yours.
You bet.
So I spent at least an hour just for him in intercession. Every day, get in the car. I used to have an hour drive going and an hour drive going, praying for him, not me, him. Because I knew the word of the Lord. If you build his building, I will build yours. I'd rather have God building my building than me trying. So I said, you have a deal. That's a deal. I'll take you up on that. And I began to really pray for him. The man didn't like me. Now, he was a good man of God, and I learned a lot from that man. He knew his Bible. Whoo, that man knew his Bible. But he had an issue like we all have issues. I have lots and lots and lots. Everybody does. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me you don't. I know you do. You stop lying. And he had an issue, and it bugged me because I thought he should know better. Now, if you had that issue, it wouldn't bother me. But he was a pastor, and he'd been in the pastorate a long time. I thought he should know better. And I had a snotty attitude, and God didn't like it. My job was, my assignment, by the way, was to get him free, not to be snotty. God revealed things to me to pray to bring a freedom instead of being snotty.
God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus.
That was my job. And one day, when this all started, when I first got that prayer assignment, I'm going to say, I don't usually share this because people wouldn't believe me, but this is the truth. I sit in church and I was griping to God because he was preaching the same sermon we'd heard like 80,000 times. We'd heard this, I mean, three times on Sunday and once on Wednesday. We hear the same old sermon, you know? Same sermon. We know why. We probably weren't getting it. Hello. So I'm griping. I'm saying, Lord, I'm not tired of this sermon. Lord, said it's your own fault. So it's your own fault you're in this boat right now. He said, if you prayed for that man like I told you to pray for that man, you wouldn't be in this boat right now. And furthermore, he said, there are some things in his life that I have assigned to you to pray through. And if you don't do it, it won't come to pass. Now, you might not believe that was God, but that scared me. I got serious. I mean to tell you, I got serious about praying. And one day, finally, God released me. He said, okay, that's it. You're out. Move on. Took many years, but God promoted me to the next assignment. Another equally thrilling. But my point is, that day in the car, for an hour, I cried and cried and cried, because for the first time I saw that sin, that particular sin, the way God sees it. We don't see sin as sin, because we've glossed it over for so many years, we no longer acknowledge it as an offense to God without asking Him. Andrew Womack said one time he got to the point he couldn't watch Westerns, and I'm thinking, Westerns? Not Westerns! They're the greatest thing on TV! He said, if you ever got a revelation how God sees all that stuff, people shooting each other and killing them.
Oh, yeah.
I said, oh, don't take the Westerns. The way God sees things is not the way we do. And we have, I have found that if our mind sees something as, well, that's okay. This is not okay. In other words, we know we wouldn't go out and commit adultery. We know it's sin to go do fornication, but this is okay. You know, this little thing over here, that's okay. But that may not be how it looks from the throne. So what is the view from the throne? Huh? So we need to be asking God for His vision. That's why it's so important to go to heavenly places and spend time with Him. Because the more that you're with Him, the more He reveals who He is and how He sees. Planet Earth does not look the same from the throne of God. Your problems do not look the same. Big problems on Earth are teeny tiny. Itty bitty. One day I walked in my house. I was praying. I prayed all the way home. And I walked in the house and I saw a picture of the United States, and it was about as big as my kitchen table. See, things are easy for God. Things we think are a real big deal are real easy for God.
Yeah, thank Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Had enough? Yeah, thirsty for more. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Oh, don't go there. That was one of many knives. Thank you. So here's the thing. I'll kind of wind her up with this. We've cried out to be like Him. And if you really love Jesus, at some point you said, oh God, I want to be more like You. I don't like the way I am. Change me. And when He comes and begins to confront you, you go, well, wait a minute. I don't really mean that. Oh, surely you don't mean it. Oh, you don't mean I have to change that. Because then the minute we go to God, woo! I love you too. The minute we say, God, change me, I want to be like Jesus, we obligate God to confront us with who we are.
Yes, you do.
So when He comes at us, oh, so lovingly, and says, dear, you need to change this. You've lost the right to say, I know I do. Because you said, I want to be like Jesus. He will not make you, but you can be changed. And the way that you can be changed, you can't do it in the flesh. Forget that. It won't work. You have no ability in your natural being to change yourself. Do you know that? That's where religion blew it. Okay, love everybody. Okay, let's all bake cakes and go love people. You know, I'm telling you, that's not how it doesn't work anyway. It's by the Holy Ghost that was given to you. The Holy Spirit working through you, borrowing your mouth to speak the will of God,
amen.
Listen to me, is what changes you. As you enter into prayer, you enter into what I call prophetic intercession, meaning you listen to God, you're speaking in the Spirit,
absolutely.
And you say what He tells you to say or what He prompts in your heart, you will see change because it's no longer you but Him. When He speaks a thing, it is so. I have been delivered from many, many things. I mean delivered from habits, attitudes, I'm going to say it, devils. Mm-hmm. Delivered, where so delivered, when you're really delivered, you're changed. You really got delivered? Stop saying you were delivered. If you weren't delivered, stop it. Lying dog. If you really got set free, you're changed in that area. And it will feel as though you actually had a personality change. Because suddenly some part of you has gone missing. Guess what? It wasn't you.
Okay, Jesus.
And over the years, as you press in the Holy Spirit, if you don't pray well, get somebody who does. You get friends that know how to pray, that can go like a bullseye. I value more than gold the people that really know how to pray. I mean, really know how to pray. How to go into the Spirit and get it done. Go to the root cause, pull it out, it's done. I value that more than money, more than gold, more than land, more than property, because they are the ones, people like that, that have that ability, will change the world. And they can help you change you. If you don't know how to pray like that, you get in there and you pray until you know how to pray like that. No man can teach you that. That's something you learn by doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. You won't feel like it. Your flesh will fight you. Do it anyway. This is the army. You will not feel like getting up at 5 in the morning and putting on those boots when your feet hurt from yesterday. You will not feel like praying in tongues for 2 hours at first. You're not going to do it. You're not going to want to. Your flesh will fight you like crazy. At first, it's just like the military. This is the army, Mr. Jones. You won't feel like it. But over time, there comes a romance. There comes a place where you just step in. You're there. You can get to the place where you can step into the realm of God in a second. Somebody calls you, you are in the middle of laundry or something else, and boop, you're there. Somebody calls you, boop, you're there. Okay, hold on. 1 minute, please. You know, I'm saying. You're in the middle of one thing and nail something over here. I'm telling you that you can grow into a person that is a living manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be God manifesting Himself through your big, big mouth. And a lot of times we've let the devil borrow our mouth and speak garbage and prophesy junk. And do you know the power that you have? And so God is trying to transform us. He's trying to change us. You're in a lifestyle change. People want it right now. Forget it. This is a process. You need to press in. And the minute I see something in me I don't like, God, I'm going after that thing. I don't like that. That's not of you. I cannot remember a time in the last 25 years when I haven't had something about me that I don't like that I'm going after in prayer. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
What?
I heard that. He's going, in closing. I've been there. I've done that to preacher. Yeah, I said that half an hour ago.
My second
close. All right. Okay, all right. I guess. Okay.
Long way for this meeting, guys.
Yeah, they came along. Woo! Is it hot in here or is it just the Holy Ghost? Yeah, somebody get the man a, you know, coffee and put him in the back and he'll be all right. So, you're trying to go from your current condition to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Between point A and point Z, there's a lot of transformations that have to happen, and God has provided a method for that to happen. And if you embrace that and go after it, you can release change in your life, in your mind, in your soul. You can release changes to where you really aren't who you used to be.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There, now that was a closing.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.